We at the First Pentecostal Church of God would like to thank you for taking the time to listen to the message that God has revealed to our church. We are praying for this message to encourage you and strengthen you for His service. May God richly bless you as you listen.
Continuing our study through the book of Joshua, we come to where Joshua has conquered Jericho. He's conquered Ai. God has done great works. We dealt with the sin of Jericho and the sin of Achan that took place. We dealt with the ambush that God set up when he attacked Ai, how God set up an ambush. And this morning, I want to preach to you along these lines, serve to survive. Serve to survive. And I want, have you ever thought of the concept of being at war with God? I mean, really. I mean, it's kind of one of those things you think about and you go, no way, you wouldn't want to go to war with God. That would just be silly, right? Go to war with God. But unfortunately, a lot of people and a lot of times in history, people have gone against God's people and thus declared war on God. The Bible says in Armageddon that all the people of all the earth are going to gather themselves together and come against God. And the Bible said that Jesus is going to overcome them with the sword out of his mouth. We won't have to be at battle or war, but they are literally going to come to war against God. Did you ever think you could beat God? You really can't. You're not going to be able to beat him. You're not going to shake him. The Bible said no man can hide from him. He's everywhere. He's all places at one time. You can't escape him. He's the inescapable God. He's the unshakable God. And as much as you try to shake him off, I pray you can't sleep at night because he haunts you trying to get you to serve him right. Oh, come on now. You know that's what's needed, amen? We need conviction that shakes people. Now, there was a time in history not long ago, 1967, it was the Six-Day War. There are three accounts that I want to bring to your attention because there are three stories that are pretty prominent, that are well-known, that God did while the armies were trying to attack Israel. How many know Israel is God's people? That's God's people. Now, The history tells us that the Arab nations came against Israel. One of my favorite stories is when the army of Israel was coming to Shechem. It was a stronghold of the where the Arab people had taken, and they were in Shechem. And when the Israeli army came to Shechem, they were expecting a horrible conflict. But when they got to Shechem, the Arab army were waving white hankies in the air and saying, come on in. And they greeted the Israeli army with smiles and hugs and come on in. But the Israeli army literally marched right into Shechem without any problems, without one gunshot. They got into Shechem, and then God opened the eyes of the Arab army and realized that they were all Israelites and not Iraqis. What normally would have taken days, months, maybe even years, took the Israeli army 2 hours to conquer because God was with them. You can't go to war with God, people. Come on, you can't fight against God. There's just no way that you can. Another one of my favorite stories is when the Israeli Air Force was coming to attack the Egyptian Air Force. The Egyptian Air Force was mighty. They had a greater Air Force than even the Israeli Air Force was. But the Jordanians saw the planes coming in. And when they saw the planes coming, they announced to the Egyptian army that the planes were coming. But somehow through the course of their announcement, all they heard was friendly aircraft. By the time the Israeli Air Force was done, the Egyptian Air Force almost did not exist. It took them 12 hours to destroy the Egyptian Air Force. You can't go to war against God. I think my favorite story is where one of the Israeli generals was coming against an Arab army, and the Arab army was well equipped, and the Israeli army was well unequipped, or they were unmatched. There was no way that they would conquer them with the number and what they had. The Israeli army had 12 tanks in total. The Arab army had well over in the hundreds of tanks. And here they come to fight, and the Arab captain comes waving a white flag of surrender. And he surrendered to the Israeli army. And when the captain asked him, "How come you surrendered?" He said, "There's no way we can go up against the force that you have." He said, "I saw all those hundreds of tanks behind you, and there ain't no way I'm going to stand up against them tanks." He had 12 tanks, but he saw hundreds of tanks because you cannot go to war against God. You understand what I'm trying to tell you? And that is what is going on in Joshua. The Amorites, the Hittites, the Persites, the Hevites, the Jebusites, all the ites you can name are coming against God. Not just Joshua, but against God, and they find themselves at war with God. You can't win. You can't win. And chapter 9 records a story for us to help us understand more clearly how much you can't win, how much you can't escape the power of God. The story is that the people of Gibeon had a choice to make. They had a choice to make. Look at verses 2 through 6. Examine to us that they had a choice. They could side with the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Amorites. They could side with them, and they could join forces with them. And maybe by chance, by uniting, they could conquer Joshua. But the people of Gibeon said, "You know what? I want to try a different route." So they disguised themselves. And they put on old clothes, and they put on old shoes, and they took moldy bread, and they took old wine skins, and they came to Joshua, and they said, "We have come from a far country, and we want to make a league with you because we heard what the Lord was doing." Now, I do not condone deception in any way. I don't condone the little white lie from the big white lie. But I will tell you this, I think that was pretty smart on their behalf. Because they weren't going to come to the children of Israel and say, "Hey, you know what? I'm going to join forces with you, and we're going to unite together," because the Israelites just would have slaughtered them. Matter of fact, you read later on in the same chapter, they were upset because of the league, because some of the people wanted to still kill the people of Gibeon. But Joshua withheld them from killing them. So they made up this disguise. You ever been tricked? I really hope God has tricked some of you into serving Him right. Amen. You ever been suckered? I got suckered. That's why I'm a preacher today. It's the truth. It's the truth. I had a young lady, I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but I'll tell you part of it. I had a young lady come to me, and she was a Baptist lady, and she came to me, and I spent a lot of time with this Baptist girl. I knew her very well. She went to the same parties I did. She did the same things I did. She acted the same way I acted. She participated in the same activities that I participated in. And to boot that, 3 weeks before this, I actually dated her, so I really knew her. And she took her Bible while I'm at work, and she drops it in front of me, and she says, "Bruce, you need to get saved." Well, I figured she just got saved. Right? But she said, "No, I've been saved for 5 years, brother." 5 years? I go, "You haven't been saved for 5 years." "Oh, yeah, I've been saved 5 years." I go, "There ain't no way you've been saved for 5 years. We just partied together not even 4 weeks ago. There ain't no way you're saved." "Oh, no, I'm saved. Jesus, forgive me of all my sins, past, present, and future." I go, "That's silly. How come you get to go to heaven and I don't? You act just like the devil that I act like. I don't get it." And she said, no, I'm saved." I said, "Okay, well, you know what? Let's meet later on. I have to go back to work. We'll meet later on. Let's debate." So I called Grandma. Now, listen, I'm talking about being suckered, okay? I called Grandma. And I said, "Grandma, I need some scriptures to prove to this girl she's going to hell just like I am." Every time I get the same chuckle, I tell this story. And that's exactly what my grandma did. She chuckled just like you. And my grandma said, "Bruce, you don't have to go to hell." "I know, Graham. Don't preach at me. Just give me the scriptures, okay?" Come on now. How many know you don't like to be preached at when you're living in sin? Come on. So my grandmother gives me the scriptures, but she was smart. She didn't just read them to me. She gave me texts, and I went and read them myself. Man, I got suckered. Here I am sitting down, and I open the Bible, and I'm reading it to receive and to understand. And so I open it, and I get to Romans 6:1. How shall we that are dead to sin continue any longer therein? God forbid. When I read those passages, they ate me alive. And I realized I couldn't run from God. And I realized God was going to do something in my life, and I didn't realize that what God was about to do, and it started with a Baptist girl. Isn't that amazing? I thank God for the Baptist girl today. But I got suckered. I didn't realize it. And I pray that God would trick some of you into serving him correctly, because you'll find that if you commit all to God, if the trickery was worth it, it was worth it all. Listen, I'm so glad Grandma didn't read me the scriptures. I'm so glad that Baptist girl threw the Bible in front of me. I'm so happy that God saved me and cleansed me and changed me, because he got me, he tricked me into it. But listen, I'm so thankful for it. Gibeon had a choice to make. We either go to war against God, or we find a way to serve him. Now they put on a ruse, and they put on the old clothes, and they come to Joshua. We've traveled from a far country, and if you read the text, they're pretty elaborate. I mean, they go a long way. You ever seen people go a long way with their trickery? They went a long way. I mean, they're like, oh, we come, look at my sandals. They're so wore out. I traveled for so long to be here. Look at these wineskins. They were new when we first started, but they're so old now. Our bread was fresh out of the oven. The Bible literally says they used the word, it was hot when we left. So the Bible says it was hot when we left. And we left, and now our bread is old, dry, and moldy. And they put on this big charade. And so Joshua makes a pact with them. And he says, okay, we will align ourselves with you. And they're happy. They're excited. But 3 days later, Joshua finds out that they're the men of Gibeon. A well-equipped army of men. And Joshua says, you've tricked me. You've deceived me. And Joshua says, I know. But I'm thankful for the story, because these men decided, I don't want to go to war against God. I want to side somehow with him. I want to get in there somehow. I don't know how I can get in league. I don't know how I can get to be a part of it. Some of you might be in the same place. Maybe you say, you know what? I don't know how God can forgive me of where I'm at. I don't know how God could love me for what I have done. Maybe you've been in those places where you have been down. You've been depressed. You've been tormented by the enemy. You've been pushed back. You've had Christians talk bad about you. You've had friends ridicule you. You've had pastors who betrayed you and did not show you love like you're supposed to. You've been to dead, dry churches all your life, never experienced a preacher who spits and yells. Maybe all of those things are true, but the great news is that God has made a way for all of us to serve him. And the choice is ours to take. It is your choice. It is my choice to serve God. And if you don't choose to serve him, that's all on you. Your blood is off my hands. Amen? I said, your blood is off my hands. Because I have told you the truth, whether it was liked or not. I have preached to you without fear and favor of this world, or even fear and favor of what you would think of me. I have said it plain. I have said it as much as I can. If I was to die today, I could stand before God without any guilt, knowing that I have said the truth, and I said it with love, and I said it with power, and I said it with anointing, and I said it because I know God wanted you to hear it. But the choice to serve God is yours. These men of Gibeon, they made a choice. They said, we have got to choose right now. Are we going to serve God, or are we going to fight against him? And obviously, they made the right choice. They made the right choice. Look at verse 9 and verse 10, because I want to show you something about this. This is wonderful. It says, and they said unto him, Joshua's found out, you know. He's found out who they are. And he says, and they said unto him, from a very far country thy servants are come. I'm sorry, Joshua hasn't found out yet. Verse 9. And they said unto him, from a very far country thy servants have come because of the name of the Lord thy God. Why did they do this ruse? Why did they trick Joshua? Because of the name of the Lord your God. One translation puts it this way: the fame of your God has brought us to you. Oh, man. Did you know that God is famous? Oh, man, he is famous. He beats any musician. He beats any singer in the world. He is absolutely famous. Even the people who don't like him can't help but talk about him. I mean, he's that big. He's that famous. Even the ones who try to say he don't exist and he's just a figment of our imagination, he is not. He is still famous in the mouths of the people that they call themselves atheists and agnostic. They can't help but talk about him because he's famous. I talk about him. People who don't know him ask if he's real because he's famous. Some of you aren't even serving him yet, but you're here. That's because he's famous. Come on, that's right. God's famous. I dare you to walk in Walmart and shout, Jesus! And see what you get. Brother Marcellus blessed me one day. We went out to lunch together. If you know anything about Brother Marcellus, he likes to sing. We're at the Cracker Barrel, okay? Sitting in the center part of the Cracker Barrel. You have to forgive me, brother. It shocked me. But it was powerful at best. We're leaving. We're leaving. This whole place is packed. You know Cracker Barrel is packed. He stops right there in the center. To God be the glory. And he wasn't whispering, brother. He wasn't, to God be the glory. You know, I would have whistled. Not Brother Marcellus. To God be the glory. I can't sing it as good as you, brother, but. And then he didn't stop there, starts pointing at people eating their lunch. To God be the glory. And here I am standing there going, oh, dear Lord. I was such shock, you know. He made the Lord extremely famous in that moment. Even the sinners clapped their hands for Brother Marcellus, who sang glory to God in a public area. The people he pointed at, you could tell they were a little awkward. But oh, how powerful is the Lord your God is famous. People know him. People know that he exists, but they deny him. The Bible said that God is so famous that even creation cries him out and says he exists. He's alive. He's powerful. He's almighty. The Bible said that if we don't praise him, rocks will praise him because he's famous. The people of Gibeon knew that God was the best there was, and they knew that the only way that they could get in is they got to serve him. They chose to, the only way to survive was to serve him. Now look at verse 14. I want you to see something about the children of Israel. We saw this in chapter 7, and it comes up again. Verse 14, it says, and the men took their victuals, all their food, their stuff, and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. Remember what happened in chapter 7? They just destroy Jericho, and then they say, let's just go up and take Ai too. But God was not consulted. If they would have consulted God to begin with, God could have maybe have stopped some of the progression that sin had been was going to create and do in the lives of others, but that did not happen. They did not consult with God, and so the sin took place, and many people, 36 men, lost their life that day. Today, we're preaching about this in chapter 9, we see the same thing. They don't take counsel from God to ask God, what is it that we should do? There's a whole lot of people who love to jump at just doing stuff. Amen? I've seen people say, the Lord has said to me, I know the will of the Lord, and the Lord has said that I am to go over here and do this. I've had, my pastor told me a story about a woman who came to a pastor that he was doing being an evangelist for, and the woman said to the pastor, Pastor, the Lord spoke to me and said, I'm to leave my husband and join this singing group. Someone needs to take a little bit more counsel in the Lord, amen? We shouldn't just jump at things to do. We should take counsel from God and say, God, what is it that you want me to do? What is it that you want me to say? Where is it that you want me to go? How is it that you want me to do it? We should take counsel from God on a daily basis. The problem is that so many people are so used to living without God's direction in their life that it's a normal thing to make everyday decisions without the counsel of God. Amen? It is. It's a normal thing to just say, okay, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to go here, I'm going to be there. You know, the Bible said we shouldn't say we're going to do anything unless God wills it. That we should not say yay or nay, but that we should say the Lord's will be done. That we shouldn't say, hey, tomorrow I'm going to be there, because tomorrow's promised to no man, and we shouldn't worry about tomorrow. But in our philosophy, in our Western culture, we just make decisions because we're fast, quick, and in a hurry. You should see my wife at McDonald's. She's been seeing that menu thousands of times. Still can't order nothing. And what's always fascinating is she orders the same thing she orders all the time. Should see her at Del Taco. Del Taco's our place, man. I'm telling you, there's going to be one of those places in heaven. And we go to Del Taco all the time. And we pull in there, and she don't change. It's the same thing. I know what she's going to order, but she'll spend 5 minutes. Can you tell him to hold on, please? Sure. Now I just forewarned the people that are coming on the intercom. I said, I got 4 women in this car. This is going to take a while. Just hold on. I got my 2 daughters, I got my grandma, and I got my wife. Now grandma's easy. Classic taco. I'm easy. Chicken quesadilla with a large cherry Coke. The kid's easy. Fiesta pack. But my wife, 5 minutes later, I think I'll have the same thing I had last time. Takes forever to make up her mind on something. We do this all the time, though. I go there and I know what I want. When I go to Walmart, I don't want to be there long. Matter of fact, I think that store's horrible. No offense to the people who work there. Bless God for Walmart that provides jobs. But I'm telling you, there's something about Walmart that just makes me... And I'm quick, you know, I park close enough so I can run in and run out. Every now and then I get suckered by my wife to go there, and man, it takes hours to get out. But isn't it amazing how quick we make decisions without consulting God? God, where is it you want me to, where, what do you want me to do? We've got to trust the Lord for every decision. We shouldn't just make decisions haphazardly and just do it. Joshua and the children of Israel said, they've got stuff to give us. Let's accept them in, brother. They're bringing us gifts. It's like kid on Christmas morning, amen? Could be their worst enemy. You brought them a gift. Oh, we're buds now. Right? God expects us to consult him with everything we do. What we say, where we go. He expects us to rely on his wisdom. So God, say, the Bible says that they did not counsel with the Lord, and we need to take counsel with God. Next point I want to bring out is this: be careful who you make your covenants with. Amen. The Bible says, know them that labor among you. We need to be careful who we link arms with and say, okay, let's go marching down the road together. Amen. I've linked arms with people, they had a dagger in their back pocket ready to stick it in my back. Amen. I've been there. Go out this door right here, brother. And I've been there where you're linking arms with people and you're going down the road, but their intentions are not good. They're evil intentions. Amen. We need to be careful who we link with, who we attach ourselves to, because if you attach yourself to the wrong person, it isn't long before they're hurting you. Joshua, they don't counsel God, but they make a covenant without even saying, okay, we're going to make a covenant with you, with our God, but they never once ask God about the covenant. That baffles me. That baffles me. I've seen my denomination do it, make preachers out of people that, man, I'm like, why? I've seen it. I have seen other denominations. There are some denominations I believe they'll license a monkey if they'll pay their tithes. Amen? I've seen it. And the point is this, that we need to make sure that who we link arms with is someone that's going to support and be a backing and push forward and to get us going in a right direction and not pull us back and hold us back and put us in a bondage or in condemnation, but say go forward and take it. Go forward. We need to link with the right people who are going to praise us when we do great, who are going to lift us up when we do wrong, who's going to pick us up when we've fallen. I've been around some Christians, they're like cannibals, man. You're down on the ground, they start eating on you. Be careful who you link up with, who you make covenants with, because you might find yourself being eaten later on. Look at verse 19. It says, but all the princes said unto all the congregations, we have sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel, now therefore we may not touch them. They swore by the Lord their God, and then they can't touch him now. They fell for the trick, and they swore to him by the Lord their God. Now, I want to talk to you just for a moment about keep your oaths. I got a great lesson from Sister Childers back in California. You ever meet Sister Childers? Great lady. Yeah, you saw her at camp. I was just a young minister, and she would ask me to come over and do things and take care of things, and I would say, yeah, I'll be there. And then the time would come, and I wasn't there. And I was just a teenager. I wasn't thinking, if I say I'm going to be there, I need to be there. My brain wasn't firing on all cylinders. You know what I mean? The elevator went up, but it didn't go all the way up, okay? So, so my Sister Childers came to me one day, and she had one of those little spiral notebooks about that big, you know, little spiral notebook with a pen in it, and she stuck it in my pocket. And I said, what's that for? She said, that way you can write something down and not forget. She goes, every time you say you're going to be there, you're never there. And I go, oh, I forgot. And there was honestly times that it just slipped my mind. There were times that couldn't make it, and I called her. But one day she came to me and she looked at me and she said, Brother Bruce, you are not a man of your word. That was a hard message for me to receive. But you know what? It was a good message. Because it awoke me to the seriousness that people count on me to be there when I say I'm going to be there. There's something about a man's word. There's something about saying we're going to do something and we do it. We used to be able to go to a bank and say, we need a loan, and you could shake their hand and the man's word was good for it. But today they've got to do credit score. Today they've got to see how many times you've missed payments. Today they've got to research you and make sure that you're not going to stab them in the back, because people have adopted this thing that it's okay just to back out on what they have committed to do. I could go down some rabbit trails. I can feel them coming too, but I'm not going to chase them down. We need to make, when we make covenants, when we say we're going to do something, when we sign on the dotted line, we as Christians are responsible to be men and women of what we say. We do no, we give a horrible example to Christianity if we make covenants and then we break them. I could preach on finances right now, but I'm not. You need to go there yourself in your own mind. Amen. Look at verse 24 and verse 25, and then I'm finished, all right? It said, and they answered Joshua. They asked him, how come you did this? How come you tricked us? And Joshua, they said this to him. They said, and they answered Joshua and said, because it was certainly told thy servants how that the Lord thy God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Therefore, we were sore afraid of our lives because of you and have done this thing. And now, behold, we are in your hand. Do as it seemeth good and right unto you. Do it unto us. The men of Gibeon said, we knew it belonged to you. We've just decided to move out instead of go to war. We've just decided to serve, to survive. I have great respect for that because right now I serve to survive. Amen? Right now I'm serving God because I know there's a judgment day coming. Right now I am living a life to be pleasing to God because I know that that judgment day is coming and I don't want to find myself at war with God. I don't want to find myself battling against God. Acts records a powerful story about Gamaliel. They brought the apostles in and they tried to stop them from preaching Jesus Christ. And Gamaliel used wisdom and he said, listen guys, remember that man Thaddeus? He got a great following, and when that following, when Thaddeus was gone, that following dispersed and it became nothing. You remember that guy, Judas of Galilee? He got a great following and it became nothing. He said, listen, if this is nothing, these people preaching Jesus Christ, if this is nothing, when they die, it'll all vanish away. He said, and if it comes to naught, then you didn't have to do nothing about it. But if it is of God, he said, then you find yourself at war with God. Gamaliel gave him that wisdom to stop them from going in and attacking and fighting with the disciples and with all of God, of Jesus' followers. And it was great wisdom for them because they were going to fight against God. Gibeon said, we can't fight against God. We'd better serve him. The Bible said that they made them hewers of wood and that they made them people who drew water out for the altar, and they worked around the altar. They became servants of the altar of the Lord. And the children of Gibeon became a league with Israel. Now, I know they started off the wrong way. I know they deceived to get in. But I can tell you this, I think they made the right decision to get in. Amen? I think they made the right decision to get in. And I want to end with this. Honey, would you come to the piano? I want you to make the right decision. I want you to make the right decision to get in. Because you can't fight against God. And you will never win against God. And you will never be victorious over Him. Some of you are trying to shake off His conviction power, and it ain't going to happen. Some of you are trying to get away from it and it isn't going to work. Some of you are running from God and you can't get very far. I pray that you cannot sleep until all is made right and everything is good between you and your God. Amen? There's nothing more peaceful than knowing that everything is right. That everything is right. Nothing more wonderful than waking up every morning and having a song on your heart that says, thank you, Jesus. nothing more exciting than sitting there doing dishes and a song, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. All I ask is to be like him all through life's journey, from earth to glory. All I ask is to be like him, to be like Jesus. Stand and sing it. To be like Jesus. All I ask, come on, sing it to him right now, is to be, oh, to be like him. Hallelujah. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, and all I ask is to be like you. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I pray, God, that as this altar time comes, that we would respond correctly. Father, that we would be men, women of our word. God, that we would choose to serve you. I pray, God, that you would move mightily right now in the remainder of the service. Father, I cannot do anything beyond this. It's all you now. I've shared what you've given to me. I've put it out there, but God, I'm relying on you, Lord, to draw. I'm relying on you. I'm relying on you to pull them close. God, I can't fix it. I can't clean it, and I can't heal it, and I can't do it. It's all you. Father, move right now. Move right now, Jesus. Move right now, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This morning, if you don't know the Lord, your heart is not right with him and you know it. But you hear God speaking to you right now and saying, I want you to come. I want you just to slip your hand up and then right back down. If God is talking to you about salvation this morning, just slip it up and right back down. Anybody here want to surrender to the Lord right now? You're done running. There's a hand. Anyone else? Up and back down, up and back down. Maybe you would say, Pastor, I'm serving the Lord and I love him, but I'm going through some hard times right now. I've been struggling. I've been weary. I've been heavy. I've been fighting left and right, and the devil's trying to stop me from going further. And you'd say, that's me this morning. That's me. Just slip your hand up right now. Lots of believers in here. Lots of believers. Maybe you'd say, Pastor, you know what? I've got some financial situations going on. I need God to do a miracle in my finances. Things have been difficult. Things have been tight. And I've been stressed out. I've been having a hard time. I've been working hard, overtime and everything. And you say, just need God to know that I need his help. You slip your hand up right now and say, that's me. Hands going up everywhere. Hallelujah. This is what I want us to do this morning. I know that, I know some of you are probably going to be leaving here, but if I could get the ones that raised their hands to come, can I get you to come? Can I get my altar workers to come, please? I need altar workers here. There's so many Christians, so many good, godly people raised their hand and they need a touch from the Almighty right now. They need a touch. Church, if you have to go, you can feel dismissed, but I, for those that need a touch, that need prayed for, those that need healing, those that need encouragement, those that need salvation, whatever you need, these altars right now are available to you to come and receive from the Almighty God. Just find a place. Kneel here in the front. Kneel here in front of the pulpit. Stand in the front. Whatever you need to do. But we want to pray for you. We want to believe God for you right now.